Champions League is back.
Yes.
Baby, Champions League is back. And your boy Critty has got the BVB fever. He has gone crazy about the BVB fever with the UCL gods. UCL gods known as Borussia Dortmund. They can't be beat. They won't stop. They can't stop. We won't bring up Diddy because he's got a lot of legal trouble right now, but that's who I was going to reference with Can't Stop, Won't Stop, Bad Boy Records, late 90s. Y'all know the deal, right?
Yeah.
So no Diddy references on this show, okay? And Suge Knight sends his regards from prison, says that there's going to be some reckoning for Diddy. What goes around comes around. Anyways.
Absolutely.
So the UCL gods, Nick, lose their first match in the knockout stage, but it was at the Metropolitano. Sebastian Haller, 81st minute, might have saved them. Says he told me, see, I was having a bad day yesterday, and the one thing that cheered me up, besides getting Emmeline over here, was that Dortmund were able to get the 2-1 and almost equalize with a beautiful header that went off of the post, the top right corner. Sorry, top right corner. Yeah, looking at the goal, top right corner. So just a little bit lower, and we would have been equalized going to the yellow wall. But Nick, how did you enjoy these? This was for first leg knockout stage, this was a pretty damn good week of football for Champions League.
Oh, absolutely. Every single match was exciting. I will say BVB's was probably the lesser of the two just because of the first half. The first half was all Atleti, 6-7 corners for Atleti. BVB was in Atletico's final third maybe 4 or 5 times by halftime compared to Madrid's like 50. But second half, they responded, and they answered the goal. Sebastian Haller, the Ivory Coast legend, the AFCON Cup of Nations champion, he answered, and they have a fighting shot now going into Germany. Every other match was amazing. PSG Barcelona, great match. I actually had that on the TV. I watched that at the restaurant. Real Madrid City, what else can I mean, nothing needs to be said. 3-3, what else can you ask for? The Bernabeu had the shut roof. It was really loud and rocking.
Yeah.
Phil Foden, Allen Iverson Jr. answers, scores goal. And then we had, my favorite side, Arsenal and Bayern Munich, my two favorites, battling. Controversial calls, quote-unquote, for Arsenal fans. Can't wait to go back to Charsenal and see what these guys say about that quote-unquote penalty, even though I will say their two greatest goal-scoring legends came out and told the Arsenal fans to stop crying because it wasn't a penalty. The great Frenchman and also Ian Wright came out and said, no penalty, move forward.
Yeah.
But fans still can't let it go.
And we'll get to that match, but since – so we just looked at it six times from various angles. And I can say I hate Bayern Munich. I don't even pretend not to. But it wasn't a penalty. Neuer basically established his position. Saka basically ran into him, created the contact, and then took the dive. So, I mean, obviously, if you're Saka, I'm not faulting him for that because you try and do that to – I mean, it's Champions League, and you're at home. The next match is going to be at the Allianz Arena, so you want to try and get as many goals as you can to pad the lead. So I don't fault Saka for doing it, but also don't be upset when it's not ruled a penalty because Neuer really didn't do anything wrong either. So judgment call, if you look at it from one angle, it looks like a clear non-penalty. Clearly, there's another angle where you could say, okay, well, maybe it's like 60-40, 60-60 against 44, but
– yeah.
Nah, it's not. And then, but then the other controversy, or as our friends from across the pond say, controversy, is when the kid picks the ball up and tosses it back to his keeper.
Yeah.
That to me, and I mean, so I woke up yesterday morning to Bayern videos, so some German, homemade German videos that were posted on YouTube, and that's the very first thing, and I roll out of bed, I get on Twitter, see what's going on in footy. And that's the first thing I saw or heard was the German fans, the Bayern fans saying, Schiedsrichter sind gegen uns, so referees are against us, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, man,
Oh my god!
Yeah, like I'm like Byron gets more calls than anybody else.
Yeah.
Okay, so a little bit of drama in that match, and we'll get to it. But you know the one that's like I said. I mean, I actually have just been on this BVB train, man, because I want to see them do so well. You know, whatever happens to Byron happens. If they get dealt with, they get dealt with. I don't care. It's the one German side. Like I root for every German side. If this was 1860 Munich, if it was Fortuna Düsseldorf, if it was VfB Stuttgart, I'm all about you, man. I'm riding with you until you die. But Bayern Munich, if they get dealt with, they get dealt with. But BVB, in the league, we all know how they are in the league. It's topsy-turvy. A lot of turbulence on that flight. You never know what you're going to get. Make sure your table trays are in the upright position. But they've been really great in Champions League so far, and they haven't lost a home match since 2021 to Man City. So it's been 3 years. The next match is going to be at the Yellow Wall, and that 2-1, that Halle goal in the 81st, may just be the biggest goal of this entire fixture, because if BVB can equalize in the first half, it's game on. It's game on from the get-go. So 2-2 would be the aggregate. And if you look at the stats, Nick, look at here. This is the actual stats from the match yesterday. You look at – so Rodrigo De Paul comes right out, 4th minute, and then Lino, 32nd minute. But Dortmund dominated possession, and that's – we knew that was coming, right? Because we said the worst thing that can happen – to Dortmund is they go down 1-0, because then it's just, I mean, talk about the bus parking specialists.
Yeah.
Dortmund had 649 passes with an 88% pass accuracy to Atletico's 321 passes and 77% accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
They had 67% possession to Atletico's 33%. And yet, if you look at the stats, Atletico 14 shots to Dortmund's 12. 9 shots on target for Atleti. Dortmund had 4. Corners, even, 8-8. Fouls, 10-7 in favor of Atleti. So you would almost, if you didn't look at possession and passes, you would say this was probably even down the middle in terms of like who had what in terms of possession, who had the ball, who was doing what with it. Dortmund woke up in the second half. I mean, they had to. Sense of urgency, right? You're down 2-0 at the half at the Metropolitano. You have to do something. So
My
take on this match is Dortmund are still alive. I don't know if they're alive and well, but they are alive. That goal, that one away goal, which doesn't count anymore towards the aggregate, but it is still a goal scored at Madrid nonetheless. That may be just the fire they needed to turn the momentum around going into Dortmund. But what say you?
Yeah, man, I'm right with you. If they wouldn't have got that goal, chances were super slim. I mean, everyone's still favoring Atleti just because they are up the one goal. I know it's going to Germany, but, you know, that first goal means so much in this next match. If Atleti score first in this next match, they're down. BVB's then down 2 goals. It'll be a little bit difficult, as we all know. But if BVB can score first, dude, it's anybody's game. I mean – That goal from Sebastian really, really saved them. That was very clutch, and it was a tale of two halves. If BVB play like they did in the second half, they will advance, and we will see German side in the semifinal for sure. And they will probably, you know, they'll face the winner of PSG and Barcelona. But it was a good match, man. I mean, I watched the first half on my phone while I had Barcelona on the TV, and it was just all Atleti. And then as soon as that halftime came out, BVB finally woke up, and we're gonna see a good match this next leg. I just think you got to give the slight advantage to Atleti just because that one goal lead and that first goal means so much. That'll be the telling sign. I feel Atleti go up. In Germany, it's going to be a wide open match because Dortmund's going to have to score a couple, and Atleti's quick, their front line's quick. They can get back there and pop you on that counter. They will be defending. We know how Simeone is, Critty. You know how he is.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
Look how happy he was. The jubilation when that header just touched the crossbar.
Yeah, he was kicking his leg. Yeah.
I mean, but he's you know, I was a little harsh on him, calling him a clown show, but at the same time, the support for him has dwindled amongst their own supporters. And, you know, they're not doing so shit hot in the league. I will sit here and say, and everybody, like, well, they beat them, so they beat them, right? But they got extremely lucky against Inter. Inter should have been in this spot. And then I don't think that against Inter, I don't think Dortmund had a snowball's chance in hell.
Oh, my God, no.
But you know, them's the break sometimes. You know, Liverpool, when they won the league by 18 points over Man City and had 99 points in the league, they lost Atletico Madrid in the Champions League. You know that they're, you know, it's just if Atletico gets you in a compromising position, you don't want to be bent over tying your shoes so they can kick you in the face. And that's what happens. I feel like you have these teams like that play this, you know, prettier offensive style of football, Liverpool, Dortmund, Bayern, or somebody like Bayern has been handed trouble by Atletico in the past too. They're not an easy team to eliminate in a two-leg fixture because if they get Simeone knows exactly how to play against you if he gets the lead. That's the worst thing that can happen is you go down to Atleti 1-0. If you can score on them first, then you're probably going to beat them. But absolutely, if it's the other way around, they just know how to manipulate the game and play at their pace and make sure that you don't get anywhere near equalizing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They'll start. They time waste. They'll kick the ball out. They'll do anything they can, run that clock down, foul, whatever it takes to get closer to that final 90. And they will do anything it takes, man. And if they go up, I agree with you. The stats on them going up and then winning are probably crazy. And then stats on them going down, losing that first goal, and then losing is probably just as freaking mind-blowing. Because I agree with you. They go down. It's very rare you see them come back. I mean, we saw it in the Copa del Rey against, I think it was either Sociedad or Bilbao. They would go down and it was over with. They couldn't answer, couldn't score. And that's their one kryptonite. I mean, BVB goes up 1-0. I will text you and I will say, sir, BVB's probably going to go. Cause if they do score first, I think they can do it, man. They really will. Atleti loses their head when they go down and it's hard for them to answer and come back. So we got us a good one here, man. This is probably one of the better ties as far as a neutral football fan goes, just because both sides can win it here. You know, I mean, PSG Barca kind of no one really cares, but for me as the neutral, this is going to be a exciting one.
Yeah, I like the lineup too. I really do like that. So the right side, Ryerson, Sabitzer, Sancho, and then you have Füllkrug up front. And then on the left, I think that's the weaker of the two sides, but you have Matson, Sean, and Adeyemi.
Yeah.
Overall, though, and then I like the center back pairing, Hummels and Schlotterbeck. You know, I like Niklas Süle. I'm surprised we didn't see him come in at some point, but they obviously they couldn't make a defensive substitution. They had to go offense, so that's why you saw Halle come in. You saw Marco Reus come in. You saw Julian Brandt come in, and the Julian Brandt substitution and turned up to be a good idea, if only just a little bit short. This is going to be interesting, man. Dortmund's going to have to come out. They're going to have to play open, and they're going to have to come out for the attack, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, they really have no choice. You can't just sit back, and especially at home, and just hope something goes. I mean, they're going to have to come out full force and attack. They really don't have a choice. Down that goal, yes. If it was even, then you can kind of say, you know, let bygones be bygones. Let's see what happens. Who makes the first mistake? Who gives up the first goal? But being down that goal, man, you got to bring a fight to Simeone, and we're in for a battle. I really feel we are. I feel BVB is going to be fighting their tails off, man.
So hey, y'all, BFLB, you know, we're good. Like when it comes to these clubs, like those are my last Germans here in the Champions League that I'm rooting for. You got Leverkusen down in the Europa League. They play today against the Hammers. So we'll see. we'll see. But like I said, if Byron get dealt with, they get dealt with. But let's jump right to that match because that's the other entertaining one we got going. So Saka scores. It's 1-0. And we talked about this. We talked about this a lot, Nick. We've talked about it ad nauseum about Bayern and Arsenal. We talked about it with the supporters a couple weeks ago at the Charlestonal, the supporters club here in Charleston. Bayern Munich have conceded the league. They lost again this past week after going up 2-0. They lose 3-2 to Heidenheim. They have 6 losses for the first time in something like, 17 years or something like that. Whatever it is. So they're done. Leverkusen are champs, but now they can focus all of their attention on the Champions League. It's all they have left to play for. Yep. So I said, on the one hand, it's the worst statistically, or wins, losses. If you're talking about wins and losses, it's the worst Bayern side in well over a decade. But if you're talking about their focus, well, there's still a lot of big names on this roster. And despite the fact that you have a moron as your manager, which certainly doesn't help to have Thomas Tuchel, and he made some very questionable decisions yet again.
Yeah.
Taking players off, putting other players on. We'll talk about that. But, you know, they're up. After being down 1-0, Bayern come back and they answer. Your boy Mustache, as you like to call him, 18th minute equalizes. And our boy Tap In Harry, 32nd minute penalty, taps it in. He's just a little tap, just like Happy Gilmore. Just tap it in. Give a little tappy. Just tap it in.
Tap-a-roo.
Oh, yep. Harry Kane is the tapster. He could be a tap dancer. He could be a lot of different taps.
Yeah.
He could play taps. If someone passes away, he could play taps on the trumpet.
Yeah.
He is the tap king. But not to be outdone, Trossard scores 76th minute, and at the Emirates, we end up 2-2. And you would normally say, well, as they say in the Looney Tunes, that's all, folks, because it's going to the Allianz Arena. Not so fast, my friend, as Chris Berman would say. Not so fast, my friend. Now, why is that, Nick? Why is that not so fast, my friend? Well, Werder Bremen has beaten Bayern at home this season. Borussia Dortmund has beaten Bayern at home this season. It's absolutely within reason to think that Arsenal, who have, you know, obviously they're more talented than Werder Bremen, and at least as talented, if not more talented than Dortmund, they certainly could have their chance to beat Bayern. And if you really want to establish yourself as the post-Wenger, so get that stench off about not being able to close the deal, being bottlers, because you sent me emojis with all these little milk bottles.
Yeah.
I mean, I was laughing at it, but you sent me emojis with all these little milk bottles. Arsenal can do whatever they want to if they get to the semifinals. They can play Real Madrid and get beat 8-0 in aggregate. Doesn't matter. But if they beat Bayern, that's the one team that humiliated them as Wenger was going out the last couple of years in the Champions League, the Mesut Ozil years. They just got absolutely embarrassed by Pep Guardiola's Bayern. If Arsenal can knock Bayern out and get to the semifinals, they're closer to a Champions League final or a Champions League title than they've been since 2006. That's almost 20 years. That makes a believer out of me. Because Bayern, well, on the one hand, like I said, they have more losses in the league, but that's in the league. They have all their focus now. It's win or die. Champions League is all they have left. So literally, you're going to put your best 11 out there every single game you have left in the Champions League season. So the one side of it is there's no excuse not to beat this Bayern because they're going to lose the league for the first time in 12 years. On the other side, it's Bayern more dangerous than ever because they're a wounded animal and they have nothing left to play for except this trophy.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
What are your thoughts on this match? It, like I said, some of it was a little bit amateur hour. And there were certainly moments where it looked like Bayern may tuck this one away, but then it also looked early on like Arsenal were going to be the aggressors. Yeah. And it ends up being 60-40 in terms of possession for Arsenal. They did have more of their pass accuracy, almost 90%. I would say overall, I think Arsenal definitely, they could have won this, but then I will say it's – it's not without controversy on these penalties that weren't given. So what were your general impressions of this game, and what do you expect going into the second leg?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, man. I don't think that was a penalty. You know, Saka reaches his leg out for the contact. And that's never a penalty. Even the greats came out and said it wasn't. We had the picking up the ball controversy, where the ref came out after the match and said it was such a schoolboy play or such a rookie novice mistake. It's this Champions League. We're not going to call the penalty. And on the other hand, it's like, bro, this is the most important match. Like, you got to call it on any kind of penalty. You have to call it. And, you know, Bayern Munich fans are pissed, and Arsenal fans are ignoring the fact that they picked the ball up. You know, you don't hear them talking about that, but they'll talk about the Saka penalty or apparent penalty.
Right.
Match was good. Arsenal played lights out first like 20 minutes, and yeah, then they fell victim to the athleticism of the Bayern Munich offense. I mean, just you're talking about Sané was off the chain, and then Tuchel takes him off the pitch, which was the biggest bonehead.
That's one of the things hoping you'd mention.
Yes, man. Like, bro, this guy was cooking, absolutely cooking Arsenal single-handedly. And 65th minute, Coman comes on, which, of course, he's good. He's quality, but this guy's been injured. He's rusty. I feel like if Sané never came out, we could have had a way different outcome, because Arsenal totally took over at the end. Trossard is Arsenal's best baller, if you ask me. I don't care what anyone tells me. Saka is overrated. He doesn't perform like people make it seem like he does. Martinelli's on the come up, but Trossard is just a full complete baller. Guy has control. He can pace. He can hit you with the shot. I really like Trossard, man. I really do. He's really quality, and he doesn't get the accolades as he should. Coming off the bench, he scored the goal. I think this return fixture is going to be very difficult for Arsenal. This is the Allianz Arena.
Good, man. Trossard is good. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise.
Oh, no. I think he's their best. I love him. I think he should start all the time. This is Bayern Munich and Champions League at home have not lost this whole Champions League. This isn't the league. Their mentality is so different for league play. It's visible to the naked eye. I could have a friend who doesn't watch football watch, and they will go, why is this one team not care and the other team does? It's always like that. I mean, I can see it. Anybody could see it. Now, when Champions League comes around, it's a different story. So that's where the danger comes in for Arsenal. Can Arsenal pull it off? Of course they can. Will they? I wouldn't put my money on it, but, you know, don't bet where your heart is what they say. I won't be messing with it. This is like BVB Athleti. It could go either way, man. That first goal is very important in this one. I'll say that. I could say that probably for every single quarter or semifinal match, quarterfinal match, but it really means a lot in this one. Bayern Munich can come back, though. If they go down at home, I wouldn't put it past them to strike. You got Harry Kane, who's a curse, of course, but he will hit you, man. This guy is a good baller. He still can pass. Some passes he made in that match were actually crazy. It reminded me of why he is rated so highly, because it's not just the tap-ins, but he can also pass. His vision is very good. So yeah, man, I think we're in for an exciting one. If Arsenal does advance, I will be a little surprised, just because Bayern Munich is at home. But it's this year, man. This year's been crazy. Me and you are both still shocked at that domestic performance. I do not like Bayern Munich. I do not like Arsenal, just personally. But either one make it. I think they're just getting consolation to get kicked out by whoever wins the City and Madrid match. I know you think differently. You beg to differ. I think we talked about it. You said Arsenal could beat City. So that could be a possibility, but I think this is consolation, man. Whoever wins this has a really uphill mountain to climb with the next match they have. But this one is probably the one I'll be watching the most. I watch a lot of YouTubers who are fans of Arsenal and Bayern Munich, and I can't wait to see these reactions.
So Trossard, man, £38 million, wrong currency, Jesus.
Yeah.
38 million euro value in Transfermarkt, 29 years old, obviously played for Brighton, Genk, among others. But hey, 8 matches in the Champions League so far this season, 4 goals, yeah, and 1 assist. So he scored in the last 2 matches. He scored against Porto in the round of 16. He scored against Bayern to get the equalizer. So he scored in the 105th minute against Porto. So, I mean, this guy, look,
balling.
Probably should be starting. You know, who do you substitute for him? But the guy, Leandro, comes in and he just does what he's supposed to do. He just makes an impact.
Yeah, definitely. It changes everything. And I'd find a spot for him, especially in Champions League. Scoring a goal in every other match, I mean, you gotta put the guy on the pitch and give him time. I agree.
Well, I guess the argument against it is the fact that, you know, he plays left wing, and you have Martinelli's up there as well.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's a good problem to have, but also you've got that kind of talent, that one position, that's where he's most comfortable at, I guess, you know, but Saka is, you know, I know that you have your issues with him. I don't know. I mean, I don't see Saka as any kind of underachiever or bust or anything like that. I think he's a really good player. He's obviously international player for England. I don't think that there is really anybody to me that plays in that attacking line that's really overhyped, except maybe Gabriel Jesus. I mean, he's the one that stands out.
Havertz
is a little bit better than he used to be. He's still coming in. I'm still trying to fit him in somewhere into my light column because
he was
a workhorse at Leverkusen. He was, you know, and I don't know whether you blame the failures at Chelsea on him or do you blame it on Thomas Tuchel and that regime or whatever. But, you know, he's obviously doing a little bit better with Arsenal. But then you have Jorginho behind him who now it's, you know, it's funny we talk about Bayern and Arsenal, but it sounds like Arsenal want Joshua Kimmich from Bayern to replace the aging Jorginho in midfield, which is going to cost them about 60 million euros. So that's odd to see when you have two teams who are playing each other in the Champions League. And on the other side, there is a player who has been a stalwart for Bayern Munich for years and years and years, and Joshua Kimmich. And now the rumor is that he is going to be moving on to perhaps Arsenal, that they are very interested in him. And of course, he was also starting against Arsenal just a few days ago.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be a really good pickup for him for sure.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
So moving on, I mean, this is going to be a very interesting match at the Allianz Arena. It's beyond not done. I mean, this is going to be a dogfight until the very end. But I, you know, if this were the old Bayern, and I mean the old Bayern is in up to a year ago, I wouldn't give Arsenal much of a chance. But this is Arsenal has shown maturity, they've shown growth, and you know, I told you last night, you know, Arteta is a good manager. He is. It's just that's plain and simple. And Tuchel is not. I don't think he is. I just don't. I don't think he's a good manager. He might be average. Maybe slightly above, but he's not good. And there's a reason why he is constantly sacked. There's a reason why his players do not like him. There's a reason why ownership and management typically have falling outs with him, like he did in Dortmund, for example. Hans-Joachim Watzke basically didn't tell him to leave because of performance. He told him to leave because he's just an asshole.
Yeah.
So, you know, so, I mean, and it's one thing if you're like Jose Mourinho asshole and you win trophies constantly. Maybe you can put up with that, but like just getting top four and occasional DFB Pokal, that's not enough to put up with a lot of the attitude. And Thomas Tuchel is just this arrogant, just kind of a prick of a guy that apparently just puts a wedge between himself and the dressing room and the players. I mean, I've never heard anyone speak well of him.
No.
So, anyways.
Yeah.
Moving on to, and yeah, I guess we'll talk about Barca and PSG at the end, but, you know, anyways, the much more exciting one, and this was a goal fest, 6 goals scored here, 1 right out the gates. This was Man City at the Bernabeu against Real Madrid. So Real Madrid had to hold serve here. This was their home match in this fixture. And City, again, you know, you can't look at possession as a determining factor in how the outcome of a match goes, because City had more possession, 62% to 38%, but Real Madrid had 14 shots to City's 12 and 5 on target. They absolutely did exactly what you would expect Real Madrid to do. Let City come at them, absorb the pressure. And, you know, Ruben Diaz had an own goal in the 12th. Rodrigo came back in the 14th. They went up 2-1. And that's the way it would stand until the 66th. And we had, again, in this 15-minute span between the 65th minute and the 80th minute, we had 3 goals. Phil Foden and Guardiol, and then Valverde equalized in the 79th. And it didn't look like both teams were just happy to go take it back to the empty hod, tied at 3-3. Again, City, this is, again, I would say a home match for them is pretty much a death sentence. But this ain't no regular squad they're facing. This is Real Madrid. Madrid are completely capable of winning at the empty hot, 100,000%.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'll ask you the same question here that I asked you in the other two. What were your takeaways from this match, and what do you expect in the second leg? Because I could see a lot of the same. City's going to be at home, and maybe they want to put them out of their misery quickly. So I could see City being the aggressors again. You know, this is, they were going to take 62% possession in Madrid. It's hard for me to believe that would flip on its head when they are the home side. It's typically where City will come at you, be aggressive, you know, go all out attack, if you will.
Yeah.
And watch out, because you play that high line with that back, the back three that City have, back three, back four, and it's you know, whenever you have Akanji out there, you have Ake out there, which Akanji was out there on Tuesday when they played. It's always dangerous. I mean, that's City's one weakness we've talked about, right? Obviously, yep. Ruben Diaz had the own goal. So one of Madrid's 3 goals is produced by a player in City's back four. And then Ortega – well, actually, you fancy Ortega over Ederson, don't you?
I mean, he has better – he can shot stop better, but his distribution isn't as good as Ederson. But, I mean, you pick your poison there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. Ortega, his out of the back distribution is just not very good. And Ederson – can't shot stop like Ortega. I mean, we watched it in firsthand against Liverpool. He's like a deer in headlights, but Ortega was lights out with shot stopping. Ederson was in goal for them in that Liverpool match. 2 or 3 would have went in. I'm sorry. So yeah, I give a slight nod to Ortega. He'll definitely be leaving at the end of the season.
I have to ask you something. Tell me this. Are you surprised by the fact that Kevin De Bruyne and Jeremy Doku never saw the pitch? Are you surprised that there was only one substitution made for City in this entire match, which was Phil Foden for Julian Alvarez? Does that surprise you?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? And the only reason Phil Foden came out is because he got hurt.
So three substitutions made for Real Madrid, all of them great substitutions because of the names, Joselu, Modric, and Diaz.
Yeah,
they came in for Kroos, Valverde, and Rodrigo, respectively. But, you know, this is a match Jack Grealish started. You know, he's an endangered species. You rarely see him anymore. Kovacic has started from the very beginning. Then, so I'm just, what are your thoughts on that? Because City they had all these substitutions available, and they only used one
Yeah.
And that was because of
injury.
Yeah. So what were your thoughts on this?
I think he's thinking about the league too, man. The guy is in a freaking Champions League playoff two leg and he doesn't start Kevin. And it's crazy that they actually sneak away with the draw here because they could have easily taken the loss. And then you look back and say, well, damn, you didn't play Kevin De Bruyne. You didn't sub in anybody. Like, you could really blame Pep for this loss here, but somehow he got away with that draw. And I was shocked, man. I mean, Kevin on the bench, you only have a year or two left with him, man. You got to play the guy, and it blew my mind that he did not start and did not even come on the pitch. So it's mind-boggling, man. I mean, the guys I listened to on YouTube, you know, LB and whatnot, they were actually kind of shocked too here. I mean, you got to give Kevin time and play the guy. Even Doku, even though he can't finish, he'll give you that pace and can get you inside that box, and you never know what can happen when you're in that box and shooting the ball. So yeah, man, I was blown away. I couldn't believe Kevin didn't see a minute. We will definitely be seeing him this weekend. I mean, well, maybe not. God, I think they play Luton or something. So, you know, he could be resting Kevin, man. Let the guy heal up, use him in the second leg and try to get past, Real Madrid here at home. That's a good point, man. That's something I didn't think we'd touch on. And that's probably one of the biggest takeaways from this is not who played, but actually who did not play.
Yeah, absolutely. I've never seen Manchester City in such a big match occasion. This is Rocky Balboa versus Ivan Drago, man. Like, this is this ain't no egg and hammer.
No.
As Bobby Heenan used to say, this is Real Madrid. They are 14-time European Cup champions or European champions, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you want to rotate the squad. You want to sub people out. You want to give people some time. But then, yeah, I understand he's got the league. But this week against Luton, you can play your C team and beat them. So that argument normally would come under – I would give you some you know, like leeway there. But, no, not against the team that's almost certainly going back down to the championship again. That's not going to be – if they have trouble with Luton, then – they ain't winning the championship, the Premier League.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
that's just like something to rest him. How few substitutions that Pep made.
Yeah, it's like he wanted to rest him for a whole nother week. You know what I'm saying? Like, he probably won't. He might play a little against Luton, but he'll take him out after, you know, or bring him on in the 60th or 70th if he even does play him. At this point, I wouldn't even play him. I'd just leave him and let him play against Real Madrid. I mean, this is Kevin De Bruyne you're talking about. So it's not like he needs to, you know, stay sharp. I mean, he's freaking world class. So, yeah, kind of a tricky one, man. You got to kind of scratch your head at that one. It was definitely a head scratcher. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. So we'll see. We're going to pick all these games at the end of this segment. We'll pick the outcomes for leg two and who we think will move on to the semifinals. But we have to talk about one more. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't watch any of this. I find myself, it's hard to care about PSG and Barcelona in my world. I don't know. I can't tell you why that is. PSG is just whatever to me. They literally just whatever. And when they lose Mbappe, they're going to be whatever times two. And Barca, I guess they're kind of a, like, the science experiment that you look at in awe. It's like, you know, you go past somebody and they're growing like clay, but in the science class or fair. And from that clay is like, you got like trees growing out of it and whatever. Cause you're like, you're bankrupt or whatever. You're $2 billion in debt, but you're still buying players. Somehow you're still in the top four in Spain. Somehow you're still in the final eight in the Champions League, and then you go to the Parc des Princes and beat PSG 3-2. Ousmane Dembélé got the equalizer, and I thought the momentum had turned around, and damn if it didn't, because Vitinha scored 2 minutes later, and all of a sudden it's 2-1. And then it's like Barcelona is seriously the science experiment that goes crazy and you can't kill it. It's like you didn't mean to put these chemicals together or grow this fungus. But now it's like uncontrollable. It's spreading through the entire school. Yeah. And doesn't matter how much they're in debt. Doesn't matter how, like, it doesn't matter. They still have whatever the scraps are from the remnants of the Messi era. You still have Christensen there. Rafinha's there. They got Frank, obviously. And they just have enough. Like you were talking about, well, now they're having to be enforced to play some of their kids, their academy kids. Barca's got a fantastic academy. But they shouldn't be – I just don't feel like – like, okay, so in that they struggled last year. They got knocked out of the group stage in the Champions League. And I think the year before that, they lost to Frankfurt in the Europa League semifinals, which Frankfurt went on to win the Europa League that year.
Yeah.
It was – I mean, Barca, they've taken under the chin. I honestly think that they are – that I would have favored PSG to win this match, and they did.
Yeah.
And Barcelona proves me wrong. So what were your takes? You have a much better analysis on this than me. I can't really analyze it. I can look at a bunch of stats and tell you what I think happened, but I didn't watch any of this. I just can't get excited about this. And – the only thing that would have been interesting is if you had a rematch from like 6 years ago or 5 years ago when that was the Messi versus the what was his name?
Oh, yeah, Cavani and
Cavani and they Ibra. Went up 4-1.
Yeah, 4-1.
And then PSG completely
blew it,
melted down in the second leg. And yeah. I think Barca won 6-1 or 5-1 or something.
Yeah. I remember 2017. Yeah, that was great. Great comeback. I watched the match, man. I watched it.
That's when the away goal still counted.
Yes. By the way. Yeah, that was away, and home goals were a thing. That, God, old times. It was a good match, man. Back and forth. Robert was lights out. He played like he was back with Ribery and Robin and all those guys. It was lights out for him. He was passing the ball like he was back in his, 28. He was on it. Barcelona have this 17-year-old, 18-year-old mm-hmm. defender who is Cubarsí, who's absolutely amazing, already playing for Spain, the national team. 17, he's already valued at about 30 mil. I'll remember his name because he's going to be a mainstay as far as backline defenders go. I'd love to see him go play in England, how physical he is. But the match was good, man. Barcelona's backline absolutely shut down Mbappe. Mbappe could not do anything. They took care of Mbappe. They did have a hard time. Dembele scored a beautiful goal from right outside the box. It just a nice shot. There's no way you're going to get to it. That's one of those goals that there's just no stopping it. Top right corner, you know, you're not getting it. And that was it. Christensen scored a header from a corner that was beautifully hit. Just Barcelona's defending, man. Every time PSG would get down, maybe on a break, a counterattack. Herrero and Cubarsí, the two center backs, the pair, were just absolutely lights out. The Uruguayan national team player, the defender we talk about a lot, the 25-year-old, the 70 million valued guy, was lights out also. Just defending, man. I mean, their defending was absolutely lights out. Reminded me of VVD and Gomez, man. Just shut down City. You're not getting around them. You're not doing nothing against them. And it came to pay off, man. They're up a goal going into Barcelona for the next leg. And it looks like people are calling for Xavi to stay. They were actually asking reporters last night if Xavi's mentioning that he might stay. And he said, no, the decision is made. I am leaving no matter what. And here he is probably going to make the semifinal of Champions League. And he is going to be leaving at the end of the year, man. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about. And they just did really good, man. They shut them down. Absolutely.
So, if you're looking at it, were you surprised that Barcelona was able to go in the Parc des Princes, go down pretty quick succession. I mean, like you said, BVB God, Ousmane Dembele, for all of one season, mind you.
Yeah.
And against his former club, Barcelona, who spent all that money to pry him away from BVB. Listen to this kid.
Yeah.
Listen to this
and
kid.
And then, Emily, she
wants to be on the show. She wants to be on the show.
She'll be one day. Emily. So, and Dembele celebrated against his old club. They were pissed. Oh, dude, the fans were very upset. You know, usually you score against your old club, you don't celebrate, but he sure as hell celebrated this goal. It was an amazing goal too, man. I'll give it to him, but. Yeah, he didn't do any – Barcelona, he was hurt so much. I mean, he must have played, what, 20 matches? I mean, it was ridiculous.
It was bad, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't even know if we can count his stint at Barcelona. I mean, the guy literally, his knee was like Reus or what's his name for Liverpool? What's the midfielder always hurt, came from Bayern Munich?
The midfielder who was always hurt, the keeper
for Liverpool,
Thiago.
Yeah, Thiago. Yep. There you go. He's like Thiago when he was at Barcelona. He'll play a match. He'll come back, get hurt, play a match, go out 6 months, come back, get hurt. So yeah, that really didn't count. But hell of a match. When they went down, I thought it was over because Mbappe. But Barcelona fought. Man, they really want to make.
Here's the thing I want to pose to you. So Gundogan, right? He's been very vocal this year about these kids not giving a damn, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's not just kids. You look at this team, okay? Lewandowski, Frankie De Jong, Rafinha, João Cancelo, and then you take in Gundogan himself, of course, Marc-Andre Ter Stegen. There's a lot of veterans here too. This isn't Gundogan and a bunch of kids. Gundogan of all people knows that Frank Lewandowski knows how to win championships because he did it with Bayern Munich so many times. He won Champions League, he won DFB Pokals, he won Bundesliga titles, everything, right? Everything there was
to win. Did they play together at BVB, Lewandowski?
What I was getting to is that not only does he know him.
Oh, wow. They did play together.
Yeah, Gundogan and Lewandowski were on those Klopp teams together. They were on the teams together.
Okay.
Gundogan stayed longer. Frank went to Bayern, and Gundogan stayed at Dortmund, I think, through 2016-17 before he moved on to City. So both of them won silverware together at Dortmund with Klopp.
Okay.
So of course, Gundogan knows Lewandowski just about as good as anybody does.
Yeah.
And it's funny, they're playing like this in Europe, but they're not getting the same production, so to speak, in the league. And that's what I think, like, so obviously these quote-unquote kids or whatever that don't take the Real Madrid match seriously, supposedly, according to Gundogan, using his own words.
Yeah.
And so, but here they are with a aggregate 3-2 over PSG, who's still a credible side no matter what. They still have Asensio up front, Mbappe, Dembele, Vitinha, Paredes, Marquinhos. Yeah. I mean, you know, Donnarumma's in goal. Still a very talented team on paper. You know, I have to say it's like a tale of two teams in terms of, like, the mentality. Because Barca also has Ferran Torres. They have Pedri. They have João Felix. There's talent on this team. Even though, like I said, and don't forget about Oriol Romeo, who's been around seems like forever, right? there's just like, even as bad as they have been off financially, it's Gundogan acted like it was just a bunch of know nothing kids, and I mean, Barca's still very healthy when it comes to big names.
Yeah, absolutely, and they're showing right now that they're taking this serious, and you mess around with them on the second leg and they'll put a stick a dagger in you and take you right on out. I think it's going to be hard for PSG in that second leg, just because Barcelona can hit you, man. This game had 5 goals. And I'm telling you that even though the defenses are pretty decent on both sides, you saw a back and forth match. Both teams made mistakes. Both teams answered when needed to. Christensen with that goal when it was 2-2. I mean, we're gonna see a hell of a second leg, and I do think that Barcelona could come out on top, and we could see a Barcelona Atleti or a Barcelona BVB semi, and we can sit here and say Barcelona or BVB could be in the final. Like, isn't that crazy? That one side of the Champions League is going to see the most random team come through that none of us would have guessed. I mean, Inter Milan really blew their chance to make it to this final.
They did. And that brings me to a point of where I would think that's like 2021 Chelsea. That, yeah,
they had that easy path.
Didn't do anything domestically. They were, you know, just an average, you know, top six type of club in England, but they won the Champions League with the walking kind of team cancer on the touchline.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I see this, right? Is that somebody's going to come out of that side unexpectedly, and it makes for an exciting final, because it's not City Real Madrid. It's not Bayern versus Liverpool. It's not, you know, one of the blue bloods. Like, not that they're not blue bloods, but like the teams that you get to see every year that are, yeah, one of the two sides. Like, last year was kind of cool seeing Inter versus City, because, you know, City had choked away a lot of finals, or even a lot of semifinals, and in some cases quarterfinals, and Inter hadn't been there since 2010. So it was a nice change of pace. This could be a similar situation to that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something different, man. It's good for us, you know, football fans.
Wrapping up Champions League, Nick. So let's pick these games. The second legs were coming up, because they're going to come up here in quick succession. So I want to go ahead and get these done. Starting off with the match we just talked about, Barca and PSG. This is going to be coming from the Camp Nou. So this is going to be home match for Barcelona. I think that Barcelona actually win this one. I like a 2-1 scoreline, and I think Barca goes 5-3 on aggregate into the semifinal.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be exciting. I'm gonna go with a draw with 2-2. I think we'll get four goals, and PSG isn't gonna be able to answer at the end and get the goal they need to tie it to take it into extra, and Barcelona will end up advancing.
Okay, so this is gonna be tough. This is a tough one, man, because we're gonna pick the return fixture next week on Man City and Real Madrid. This will be taking place from the Etihad in Manchester. So, you know, under normal circumstances, if this were any normal club, I mean, where I would lean on this, but this ain't no normal club. Like I said, Real Madrid are the kings of Europe when it comes to this competition, whether it's the Champions League or just the European Cup, but 14-time European champions in club football, and that is not something that you take lightly. It's just something, Nick, it's like a feeling. You just cannot kill Real Madrid in this competition. It's so hard. It is so hard. There's a different mindset and a different mentality when it comes to Real Madrid in the Champions League, and it just never seems to be any different year in, year out. It doesn't matter who the manager is. They just have a knack for these knockout tournaments. So I'm going to pick Real Madrid to beat Manchester City next week at the Etihad 3-2 and move on to the semifinals 6-5 on aggregate.
Yeah, that's hell of an exciting outcome. It's hard, man. And just because it's a draw and going into the Etihad, I just with Pep resting the right players at the right time, you know, I got to go the other way. I think it'll be draw. We'll get a 1-1 going into the final minutes, and then Phil will probably come on, cross over a few guys and hit a screamer, and then 2-1 final, City will advance, and you know how this goes.
Picking City to advance.
I'll take City on.
I cannot believe you're taking City. I really can't.
I, I got to, just because they're home. I got to go with empty hide. I got to go with home.
Do you not, but do you truly believe that because they're at home, that makes a snowball's chance of a Beans Hell stalk indifference against Real Madrid? Because it really, to me, there is no home pitch advantage for City in this.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think with the easier fixture for them on the weekend, not to say that Real Madrid don't have an easy fixture. As far as resting players and players go, I think if City had a harder match this weekend, I would take Real Madrid in a heartbeat. But because they have Luton and they're resting players, they are going to come out and really fight. And you know what? It's a freaking coin toss. I'll be honest with you. I'm going with City just to go the opposite of you, because really any team can win. Do I think City can win? Yes. Do I think Real Madrid can win? Yes. What do I think? What would I put?
You're going for City just to get a different answer than me.
Yeah, basically. Because I think Real Madrid can win. I really do. It's a coin toss, man. It really is. I think that what will happen is they put money in the right spot. They put money in the right hands. They'll either get a good call or a few good couple calls. Real Madrid is missing a player, too, because of yellow cards.
What do you mean? How dare you, Nick? What are you talking about? They'll put money in the right spot.
Money in the right hand.
Are you saying that somebody's getting paid off? Is that what you're alluding to here?
I gotta believe so.
What are you talking about? Somebody's getting
paid right off.
Well, okay, first of all, you got two of the top, like, who's getting the calls here? Because both of them got the refs in their pocket. So
absolutely do. Yeah. So who trumps who?
So Abu Dhabi is going to pay more than Real Madrid's people, or what? What are you?
Yeah, man. The Qatar, the group, the City group are going to be paying more. They're going to get the calls, and we're going to get a late Phil Foden screamer, and they advance. Man,
look at this. I look at that. You look at these two touch lines, right? On the one side, you have this manic guy who's so insecure and so annoyed by the media that don't give him the credit he thinks he deserves. He, quote unquote, the bald fraud. And he flips out over the calls. He doesn't get it. And then you have Carlo Ancelotti, who's so cool. He's just he's as Stuart Scott used to say, he's as cool as the other side of the pillow.
Yeah.
Ancelotti looks over and thinks of this child. He looks at this child, and he's like, "Bro, what are you getting so upset about?"
Yeah.
You
know, calm down.
And I just look at it like the demeanor between the two managers. Who's like, "I've won. I've won at Bayern Munich. I've won at AC Milan. I've won at Real Madrid. Hell, I even won some matches with Everton. Look what they've – I mean, it's not like
– Yeah.
Carlo Ancelotti was at Everton, and what have they done since he left? I mean, he took basically trash and made them competitive. I mean, so Ancelotti is just one of these guys. He's like the godfather of football when it comes to managers in the 21st century. He is.
Yeah. No, he really is.
And you just look over at this insecure – bald child that's jumping around and going crazy over this or that. And that's the difference, man. Like Ancelotti is so composed and his players are a result of that. It's just so calm and so smooth and business as usual. And he trusts them. It's like, they're going to take care of it. They're going to take care of business. They're going to do it. I don't have to scream and jump around like a 3-year-old child that, you know, didn't get the toy at Walmart that mommy said that they weren't going to give them. That's the difference. Like, his mentality is that Real Madrid are just seasoned, man. They're like a steak that's been grilling for years and it's just been seared to perfection. And City are just this piece of hamburger meat that the oil money slabbed together and put on the grill and is trying to play catch up to everybody else. And yeah, they won one last year, but you know, they failed so many times with rosters that were equally, if not more talented than what they had last year.
Yeah, they did.
So I don't, this is to me is a battle almost of good versus evil in terms of like Real Madrid are an old name, they're old world football. They've been doing this since the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. Los Blancos, right? And City are, we got relegated 8 million times and then got a billion in the bank and now we're champions.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm just going to go, man, with what I know. And I know that Real Madrid are like a cockroach, man. You can drop a nuclear bomb on them. You can do whatever. They will survive. They will crawl out from under that hole and they will survive.
Yeah, they absolutely can. Like I said, man, coin toss, we're going to see. It's definitely big contrast. You know, you got good and evil, dark and light, cold and hot. And they're two different managers. Pep will be screaming, running around, and Ancelotti will just have his arms crossed with his hands on his chin, hanging out. You know, it's a good point, man. It really is. And it's going to just come down to, I feel, who greased the palms more, and we'll see. We'll see who the winner is here, man.
All right. So two more to go. I know you've been waiting on this one. I'm saving my best for last, but I'm saving your best for now, which is Bayern and Arsenal. So this one, I'm going to go first because I need to hear your answer on this, because you hate both of them. You hate both. So I'm going to be the voice of reason in this room for this particular matchup. And then you're going to have to reel me in for the next one, because I'm going to go all out crazy on this one.
Yeah, you're right.
So here it is, right? Bayern and Arsenal. And if you look at it, I think that Arteta and Tuchel, that is the matchup that you need to be looking for, right? There's individual quality on both sides of the pitch. I'm not saying that De Ligt and Kimmich and Goretzka and Davies and Gnabry and Musiala and Sané and Kane, they're not talented. But also Martinelli and Havertz, Saka, Odegaard, Jorginho, Rice, Gabriel, excellent defender, by the way, Ben White, Raya in goal. These are two sides that they are both very good. And I think at the end, Arteta has taken this mentality. It's almost like Bayern are winning in spite of Tuchel in certain cases. And then that has now fallen off in the league. And so you have to say, like, the players are playing for themselves at this point. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Arsenal's playing. Arteta's got them playing with this winner's mentality. And it's something that they have lacked since the prime years of Arsene Wenger. When you talked about the Frenchman, Thierry Henry, that was playing there, the Van Persie, those guys that were Arsenal royalty when Arsenal were absolutely a top five club in the world, if not top three club in the world. There hasn't been that aura around this club since the mid 2000s, 2004, 2005, 2006, right?
Yeah.
So Arteta has done his best and he's not quite there yet because he has to win. You've said this and I agree with you, Nick. You got to win some silverware. Wenger won silverware. He has not yet.
Yep.
So that's going to be the final step. But Klopp didn't win it either at the start. He slowly got there, got the Champions League, then he got the league title, then he got the domestic cups and yada, 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 yada. Arteta's right there. He's right on the doorstep. He's knocking on the door. He's going, anybody home? And Tuchel's like, no, is nobody here. I am just making cancer with my players. Ha, ha, ha. So, you know, to old TT, the Audi TT, but Thomas Tuchel, TT is trying to have one last cancer injected into Bayern before he makes his exit. And the players are playing for pride. They're playing for, you know, and it's almost like it would suck for them to win because then Thomas Tuchel, the outgoing manager, gets to hoist the European Cup. But then on the same token, it's like, well, you don't want to lose this chance. You're here. You're in this.
Yeah.
You're 90 minutes away from a semifinal.
Yeah. You're right.
This is really tough. And again, it's very much like I would have said in years past, if you go to the Allianz, that's the death of you. You needed to take care of business. The one club that was able to go to Bayern and beat the snot out of them was Liverpool a couple of years ago. I think it might have been the year we actually won the Champions League. So that might have been 2019.
Yeah.
They went down there and they just whitewashed Bayern. No problem. But besides them, it just rarely happens, right? I mean, if Bayern are going to lose, they lose at Madrid, they lose at Barca. That's the way it's typically gone down when, you know, you're not going to beat them at home.
No.
This Bayern side are vulnerable, they're susceptible to they're susceptible big time to counterattacks. So we've seen that happen. Bremen did it. Bremen actually could have won much higher than 1-0. We know that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if Bremen can counterattack you, then you know that Arsenal can. And that's been the problem with Bayern is the defense, and they're just not as sharp as they have been in years past. I'm going to go with a tight one here, man. I think it's going to be almost identical scoreline. I just don't think that whereas Harry Kane's penalty bailed Bayern out and got them to 2-2, I think it fails this time. They will score one from open play, but Arsenal are going to get two, and Arsenal are going to go to the Allianz Arena. They're going to show the world that they're for real. They're going to win 2-1, 4-3 on aggregate, and Arsenal will advance to the semifinals of the Champions League. Now, sir, the floor is yours. Go ahead and ruin this for me.
Yeah, man. I just it's a different team, man, at home. And, you know, we can bring in the argument of the domestic play at the Allianz Arena, but this league play from Bayern Munich, just, we haven't seen play like this domestically in over a decade. And I just, in Champions League, they've been unstoppable at home this year. And I don't see Arsenal having the experience or the know-how of how to outplay the Bayern Munich side. Sure, Arteta can outcoach and outmanage Thomas Tuchel because Tuchel's an absolute moron. But I just feel that they'll get the right bounces at home. We've seen before that Bayern Munich get all the calls at the Allianz Arena. If anyone gets more referee favoring more than Real Madrid or City, it is Bayern Munich. I think we both can agree to that one.
Oh yeah.
And they will get it today, or not today, but next week in the second leg, and it'll be difficult for Arteta to have a response to them. What Arteta will do is he will not start Trossard, and he will try to bring him on late to answer to Harry Kane's probably brace or goal that he scores, and they won't have enough power to answer. Jorginho will be taken off. They'll lose control of the midfield. Rice will either get hurt or just have a terrible match. Havertz will be the giraffe that he is and bum fumble around the pitch. And Bayern Munich will most likely advance on probably a crazy call, something that the Arsenal fans can claim that it's the referee's fault, it's not Arteta's fault, and we will see Bayern Munich advance. I will give it the 2-1. Arsenal will score first within the first 5 or 10 minutes to get all of their hopes up, and then Bayern Munich will score two, dagger. Sané will get the first, Kane will get the second, or Kane will get both, and then they will be eliminated. And then the focus will be the Premier League title, which they will also bottle, and that's something we'll get into later. But, yes, yeah. I'm saying 2-1 Bayern Munich. Arteta, they'll be calling for his head here within a year.
Oh, man. Come on now. They're calling for his head.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, man, these fans, there's a fan base group getting tired of no trophies, man. They want silverware. It's been 4 years. Klopp got his guys trophies in 4 years. They want answers. He's spent enough money. Besides United, Arteta's had the most money in the transfer market. And it's time. These fans want silverware, man. And if Arteta can't bring it in 4 to 5 seasons, they're going to be looking for someone else, man.
I just have to say to that, you know, look at what he inherited. I mean, it's like Klopp inherited the same kind of situation. It wasn't good when he got there. You know, talking about, you know, places 6 through 9 roughly, yeah, is where Arsenal and Liverpool were at those times, respectively, when Unai Emery and Brendan Rodgers both got sacked, and then Arteta and Klopp replaced them. So, I mean, I would say last year they were ahead of schedule, this year they're on schedule, and next year would be when I would be looking for silverware as like a do or die. I just wouldn't pull the plug on Arteta after this season, especially they're going to finish at least in the final 8 of Europe. They're going to finish in the top 4 in the Prem again. They're going to get Champions League again next season. It just, to me, you can't.
Next year. Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be next year. You have to get you have to be get a trophy of some kind.
Get something. Get something and solidify that you can do it. And then you move forward from there and you continue. Because Arteta has he learned from Pep, man. He has the knowledge, you know, he can do it. It's just it's a matter of doing so and getting that finishing mentality to where you can finish out titles and leagues and trophies, because they've bottled it every other time before. This is their chance, man. This year, next year are so crucial to the Arteta regime. If he doesn't win anything next season and they keep losing and blowing things and throwing shit out the window, they're going to start looking for other answers, man. You know that. If Klopp wasn't winning in 4 or 5 years, you probably would have been like, bro, what is going on? You know, and he did.
That's what I'm saying, though. I would give Arteta that next season should be that season where you draw the line in the sand and say, okay, you know, everything's been trending upward. Now you need to deliver.
What are we going to do? Right. Yeah.
Okay, so the last one is Borussia Dortmund versus Atletico Madrid. And I'm taking this out in my head. So the BVB, the UCL gods, will live yet to fight another round. They are going to eliminate Atletico de Madrid, and it's going to be in epic fashion. Dortmund are going to score in the first 10 minutes of the game at the yellow wall, and we're going to go with a 2-2 aggregate, and we're going to go 90th plus 7. It's going to be 7 minutes at least of stoppage time, if not more. And Marco Reus, the man made of glass man, is going to come in somewhere around the 70th minute. He's going to be subbed in, and he's just going to be in perfect position, and he's going to score the go-ahead goal for the aggregate to beat Madrid 2-0 in Dortmund, 3-2 on aggregate, and Borussia Dortmund will advance to their first Champions League semifinal since 2013 under Jurgen Klopp, when they beat Real Madrid to advance to the final to play Bayern Munich in the all-German Champions League final. That is my prediction, man. I think Dortmund are going to – that goal has saved their momentum. Sebastian Haller, 81st minute. Then they almost equalize. They know they can hang with these guys. Minimize your mistakes. Dortmund are different. They're a different beast. They've proven that at home in the Champions League. They don't lose here. They haven't lost here going on almost 5 years now at home in the Champions League. So I'm optimistic they can do this, man. Atletico Madrid are beatable. So glad they got the away fixture out of the way first. Now they can go home knowing, okay, we can score on these guys. They can bleed. They can be hurt. They can be they're vulnerable. We can get them. They're not invincible. Even if they have a 2-0 lead, because everybody, you know, we're talking about this. The worst thing that can happen to you is to go down to Atletico 1-0. What's even worse is to go down 2-0.
Yeah.
That's like death. Yeah. And Dortmund came back and nearly equalized. Yeah. And that has to put some confidence in Terzic's guys to be able to know that we can go toe-to-toe with this club and we can beat them. So I'm predicting that my boys, the UCL gods, they are going to beat Atletico Madrid and knock them out 3-2 on aggregate. Epic fashion, 2-0, and Dortmund advance.
Yeah, man. I mean, you're not crazy. I mean, hell, we all are crazy sometimes. UCL gods, Borussia Dortmund, BVB, yellow wall. Yeah.
Only this year, apparently.
I know, and yeah, I know, right? And I don't know if I'll ever hear you say this stuff again.
Because
sadly, we both know that this is, you know, a one-off crazy season for Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League. Man, it's been fun, dude. We've had a great time with it. I literally laugh every time we get to talk about BVB because we literally talk so much shit about them all year, and then the past month you've bought 6 BVB kits. You're wearing them around town. Everybody thinks you're a Borussia supporter. It's like, bro, what in the world has happened?
You tell me, you're drunk on BBB or something.
Yeah, you are. And it's funny because like not 3 months ago, we had a show laughing at like making fun of them for 30 minutes. So it's just crazy, man. It really is. It's actually funny. I'm not gonna lie, man.
I still don't rate them in the league. If you the tale of two cities is the tale of two critties. The critty you get in the league. Who the hell they play this week? They play Leverkusen next week, right?
2 weeks. Yeah, in 2 weeks they play Leverkusen. I think they play Stuttgart, I think.
Stuttgart beat their ass.
Yeah, Stuttgart's going to destroy them.
Stuttgart's going to wear their ass out. Listen.
Yeah.
But that's why I call them the hashtag UCL gods, okay?
Yeah.
Because they won the group of death.
They got Gladbach. They got Gladbach.
Okay. Well, they can beat Gladbach. They can.
Yeah,
beat
away they can. They're slight favorites. But yeah, I get so
you see what I'm saying? I'm not like, you tell me that Bochum beat Dortmund in the league, and I'm like, yeah, sounds like your typical Saturday in Germany. But then they just have this different mentality this year. It's like they're in this, like, I'm riding this way. It's like a magic carpet ride, dude. I'm riding the wave with them, and I feel empowered to root for Dortmund to win this thing. Because honestly, without Liverpool in the Champions League, bro, it's all I got. It's all I got.
No, I know.
They're done. Enter Matthew. You know I was heartbroken about that. I mean, I didn't want to have a podcast that week.
I know. Devastated. I was with you.
So Inter let me down. So all I got left are my German boys, and that doesn't include you, Bayern. All I got left is Dortmund, and so I'm, bro, until the last juice is squeezed out of this lime, I'm with them all the way. I am Borussia Dortmund till I die in this Champions League, man.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, I found out. I know, man. I know who you're pulling for, man, and I don't blame you. Like you said, you're Germany through and through, and I don't blame you, man. I don't have a problem with it, dude. Before they absolutely bottled the league and we were starting to talk, I mean, because we met a couple years ago, I think almost 2 years ago, right. And you schooled me. I didn't watch top tier, so you've schooled me through the top tier more so, and I know a lot about football. I mean, for Christ's sake, I could tell you about India to China to Brazil to Venezuela, but you. Right. Schooled me on BVB, and you've instilled in my mind that they just will destroy your hearts and they will hurt you. But
a lot of the reason, before you get there, a lot of the reason that I was talking so poorly about them earlier this season is because I'm like an angry parent with their child.
Yeah,
it's not that I don't love BVB in these competitions. It's the fact that you had the chance. You had Bayern Munich on the ropes last year. They were basically the head is three quarters cut off of the snake, and you let them come back and win the league.
Yeah.
On the final match day, and you sat Jude Bellingham on the bench.
Yeah.
What the hell? And so terrible. I get angry right now just talking about it.
Yeah, terrible choices. Absolutely agree with you there.
So you have to understand, like, if Dortmund had won the league last year, I'd be thrilled, and I'd be just as excited about that as I am about Leverkusen actually winning the league this year. But the fact is, they didn't, and they lost it in such a ass backwards, agonizing fashion.
Yeah,
it's still. I mean, look, if you're a Dortmund supporter, I don't know how you're ever going to get over that. But
yeah,
the thing is, I mean, I don't hate Dortmund. I like Dortmund, but I just hate what they did last year.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. It's been fun. So, you know, part of me kind of wants to see them kind of advance just to have you continue on your UCL God trend.
Can I say that word?
But you know, this is Atletico Madrid. It's going to be hard. But you are behind the yellow wall, as you say. So. I don't know, man. It's going to matter on the first goal. If BVB can score first, then yes, they will get through. I just think Simeone's going to park that bus.
Yeah.
And what'll happen is we'll end up – we got a 2-1 first game. We'll It's sorry, Emmeline. We will get BVB will score first. Okay. Ooh. Then it will be tied. It'll be tied, and then we'll get extra time, and then BVB will just continually attack. Atletico Madrid will park the bus, and then we will get penalties, and BVB will get kicked out on penalties, and Atletico advance like they did to Inter Milan. There you go.
Well, that's – yeah, okay. That's a sound prediction that I would never, ever – I would never go again. So, I mean, the rationale is speaking for you on that. Whereas I'm obviously drinking the BVB Kool-Aid here.
Yeah.
And when they're done, if they lose to Atletico, then, you know, it's on the next season. They're pretty much in a hole in terms of like, can you even get top four in Germany at this point? Cause now RB Leipzig control their destiny in that situation. So, moving on real quick, we're going to wrap up here, but we have to talk about a few things domestically first. The match that you and I watched last weekend together, I gave you a hint here, 28 shots to 9, possession was 62% to 38%. There's absolutely no reason why this ended in a draw, but the side that should have won didn't, and they were bailed out by a last-second penalty. And that was Liverpool and Manchester United 2-2. Nick, you and I both were very frustrated by this match. Liverpool had a lot of chances that went to the wayside.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was we had a hard time with that one, man. We really did. A lot of wasted chances, a lot of shots blocked. Not as many offsides as we thought they would have. But, I mean, bro, we saw an onslaught of shots and just – Liverpool in the final third just cannot finish, cannot do anything. They really need to work on that finishing and figure something out if they want to win that title.
Well, that's been the problem, right, is all these shot attempts but no goals. And that's when we saw that, you know, Salah, again, has to get a penalty in the 84th minute to score the equalizer. But let's talk about the Bruno Fernandes goal. I mean, have you ever seen a goal? I mean, when it rains, it pours, man. And it just seems to be one of those things where if it's going to happen, it's just bizarre. It's going to happen in this match, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That pass back. Yeah. That pass back, man. I mean, he just missed him. And I mean, Bruno just, you can see him. If you watch from like the back view, you can see Bruno look up and see Keller. Keller's up out of his box, and Bruno just kicks it right over his head, man. Definitely very frustrating. Me and you, both of our jaws dropped, and that literally single-handedly brought them back in the game, because if they did not score that goal, I'm sorry, Liverpool probably would have ended 3-0 or something crazy.
Well, we talked about the fact that if they'd have gone up 2-0 at the half, then it's probably over at that point.
Over. You know? Absolutely. That would have completely changed the match. That would have been a lights-out dagger. 2-0 at half, and that game's done. We could have really saw a slaughtering. That mistake by the the young defender? Why can I not think of his name? But his mistake caused
Kwanzaa.
Yes. That mistake caused the Manchester United to stay in the game, man, and they fought till the end. That second goal by Manio was beautiful, and Liverpool got the silly, stupid penalty, and they answered. We both screamed and yelled when Salah took the ball from McAllister. I will say that. I want to go online saying that we screamed, like, what are they doing?
And you know, this one, Emmeline, you there? She was there with us and watched the match, right?
Yeah, she was.
Emmeline. Who's going to win the league, Emmeline? Arsenal, Man City, or Liverpool?
Yeah.
Liverpool. I'm really upset by that question.
Yeah.
It's going to be Liverpool. So it's almost like she has no qualms about saying it. But anyways, to square it up, yeah, that was a – that was a very frustrating match to watch. You and I were streaming at the TV for a lot of it, and, you know, it could have easily – been a loss for Klopp at the end had they not pulled that penalty out, which was just an insanely stupid penalty for United to give up. You know, you have to look at it on the same token that, like, Maynou's goal was a thing of beauty. I mean, just a perfect screamer in the corner. Bruno Fernandes, he just gets these lucky goals.
Yeah.
Diaz scores off the set piece, and then Mohamed Salah scores off of the set piece. So two goals from open play from United, two goals from set pieces for Liverpool. So couldn't be any more different than how they got their goals. But
yeah,
just not a lot of confidence for me with Liverpool finishing right now. I'm eager to see what they do today against Atalanta in the Europa League and see how they come out with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking now, trying to get early lineups, and I'm still waiting for them. But Liverpool, big favorite today, and hopefully they can get some confidence back and get some goals, man. I mean, huge favorites, but I would like to see Liverpool score some goals to kind of get these guys back confident, man. I mean, after the Sparta Prague outing where they dropped 9 goals against them in 2 legs, you kind of want to see that come back so they can show that they can score these goals, because United just isn't very good. So we got to see some goals today, man.
Yeah, so let's pick these real quick for this weekend. The Espresso fixture on Saturday has Newcastle and Tottenham. I gotta say here, this is sort of the last stand for these two. I mean, Tottenham's got to win to stay in the top four. Newcastle, if they want to have any kind of conversation in Europe, they have to continue to collect 3 points. I do fancy Newcastle in this. I'm going to go with a 2-1 win for Newcastle.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm going to go with the draw just because oozing is a curse. I swear it's going to be like 2-2, and Newcastle will go up 2-0, and Tottenham will fight and claw back just to get a draw, and they'll stay right where they're at. Aston Villa have Arsenal, so we'll see what happens with that positioning. We'll see if Aston Villa can jump Tottenham there. But I'll say 2-2 draw.
Man City and Luton?
Oh, my gosh. Do we even have to? I'll say 3-0. Luton won't – even though they give up, their back line's terrible, City's. I don't know, man. Luton's going to have 20% possession, dude, maybe less. So yeah. I mean, 3-1 maybe. I'll say 3-0 final, and a lot of people sit. We'll see Oscar Bob play. We'll see Alvarez play. You know, we'll see the second players play a lot here. 3-0 City.
5-1 to City for me. I think they'll concede one because that's just what they do.
Yeah.
But Liverpool, Crystal Palace.
Oh, man.
That is the early fixture on Sunday.
It is. Yeah, you're right. Is it 9:30 or 7:30?
9 o'clock.
Okay, Eastern. 9 o'clock ain't bad. I think I'll be on the road, so I'll actually be listening to this. Gosh, man, Liverpool's a huge favorite. -500, goal and a half favorite. I got to say, after today, after they score 2 or 3 today, I'm going to have to say 3-1. I'll say 2-1. I think Crystal Palace will get a goal, and it'll probably be like always. Liverpool will let in the first goal like they always do. I think you can agree with me there. And then Liverpool will answer, and they'll win 2-1.
Yeah, that sounds like an accurate thing. What happens, though, in that scenario is with the Man City win and the Liverpool win, Man City go ahead on goal differential.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. So Liverpool need to be scoring goals here.
They score a lot of goals here. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot.
4-5-0 would be nice. That's what they need to shoot for. But we'll see. I don't know if they're even capable of that at this point.
Yeah,
Let's see. Top six.
You didn't predict it. What are you predicting?
Oh, Liverpool. I think Liverpool 3-1 over Palace. Okay. 3-1 over Palace. They'll drop the I think with my prediction, they will drop to behind City in goal differential. Because I said City's going to win 4.
Isn't it 4?
Hold on. It is 2. Liverpool have a 2.
It's only 2?
It's 2, yeah.
How the fuck? It was just 4 or 5 the other – what happened?
What happens when City –
Yeah, you're right.
You know, Liverpool 2-2 and City keep winning, and that's what happened. So
damn.
I'm gonna say 3-1 Liverpool, then Arsenal and Villa. They close out the weekend Sunday at 11:30. Well, they don't close it out, but Chelsea and Everton play on Monday. But last match of Sunday is Arsenal Villa. This is massively important. So Arsenal have got to keep winning. Villa have got to keep winning to keep the top four hopes at, you know, alive. It's at the Emirates. Arsenal 75% favored to win, only 10% Aston Villa win, and 15% draw. Yeah, just the form that Aston Villa's had right now, they are so a game behind Tottenham, Man City, Liverpool, and Arsenal. So all of them have a game in hand on Aston Villa. And so does Man United, but they're 11 points behind. So Aston Villa don't have to worry about losing top five, but they are equal. They're level on points with Tottenham. But like I said, Tottenham has a game in hand.
I
think that Arsenal, it's not going to be pretty, but I think Arsenal win this one 2-1 at home.
Yeah, this is going to be a close one. I'm gonna go with a 2-2 draw, man. Aston Villa, I know I keep going draws here, but I think it's going to be continuing this trend of no one being able to close out the title. City with the win and Arsenal drawing, they'll get past, and then we can start forgetting about them. Liverpool with the win, then it'll end up being City and Poole up top. I think Aston Villa are strong. They have an easy match today in Conference League. They're not going to be as concerned with, like Arsenal are thinking about Bayern Munich. Just mentally, Aston Villa might be a little bit sharper. Dracula's going to have them on their P's and Q's. I'm going to go with the draw, man, 2-2, and we start forgetting about Arsenal on the top. I think this is when the hiccups start for Arsenal. They have a hard finishing few matches, man, and this is when it begins.
I mean, I could see that, but I'm not going to predict it. I just think, like I said, I think Arsenal's turned the corner until they prove to me that they haven't, because I haven't seen that bottle job this year. Last year you saw it coming and you saw it happening in real time. And this year, the one where I thought it was going to happen, if it was going to happen, was at City, and they held serve there 0-0. So until then, they win the next week. They won last weekend. So, I mean, I got to see somebody actually put the boots to them before I'm ready to write them off and say, well, this is where the collapse happens.
Yeah, no, I totally can understand that. That's I believe me, I'm with you on that. It's gonna be a good one, man. That'll probably be the match of the week here, and then we're gonna be looking at those Champions League and then finishing off the title, man. I think next weekend, what match were we talking about watching? What's the next big match? We were not Aston Villa, Arsenal, but weren't we? Were we talking about Leverkusen, or is there an English match?
Leverkusen plays Dortmund.
Yeah, we want to watch that one on the 21st, but is there another English match that this season that's kind of big?
There's tons of them. Are you talking about, let's see, so you're talking about Match Day 34? Match Day 34 has...
I'm trying to think, because Liverpool play West Ham away, that's a big one. City got Forest, I'm trying to think. City got Wolves. Liverpool Tottenham could be one we could probably get up. That's 11:30 on a Sunday. We could watch that. We're kind of running out of Tottenham City's one we could get together, 3:00. I think that's on a Saturday. Maybe we could also have
Arsenal and Chelsea are in there on the 23rd. So that's
okay. So there's a couple we're gonna get together and watch. But I feel with the season closing, man, we're
You're talking about Leverkusen and Dortmund.
Okay, yeah. So I was thinking about that. Yeah, that's probably the one, because if they can win that one, I think Leverkusen will finish the season in the green, you know?
Yeah, they clinch. I think they clinch this weekend if they beat Bremen. I think that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, do they clinch? Do you think they still continue to try to keep winning to set the record? Or
they're too far into it at this point.
Yeah,
they're too far into it at this point, dude. You got six matches to go. They're going for perfection. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. They're not gonna. If they clinch this weekend, it won't matter what Bayern does, Stuttgart does, whoever else. They will absolutely keep that killer instinct, and they're going to go for the invincible season. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, man. So I'm all for it, my friend. I can't wait. You know, we got a lot to look forward to, man. And then sadly, we got that little break before we get together for Euros.
Yeah. But so this has been a fun week of Champions League. I mean, typically these first legs are always kind of you know. But this was an exciting week, man. Every single one of them was decided by, you know, they all had goals. There was no nil-nils.
Yeah.
And no blowouts. Everything, in theory, everything is still up for grabs. And that's all you can ask for, is that the second legs matter, that these things are going to, these fixtures are going to be competitive, and that the teams are going to come out and call and fight for every single goal, for every single minute until the final whistle blows. So, and we have that. So next week should be, it's going to be fire, man. That's all I can say. I hope the Europa League today does us justice just as much as what Champions League did.
That's what I was going to ask you. Leverkusen got West Ham here in an hour. Liverpool have Atalanta. Do you think West Ham stand a chance, or is it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. West Ham can beat Leverkusen because you've seen, so Leverkusen have gone down in that competition twice in the last two matches to Carabag. If that happens against the Hammers, this is a much better side than the Azerbaijani side that they face, and they won't just be able to snap their fingers and come from behind from a 2-0 deficit to equalize, or in this case of the second one, win it 3-2. Leverkusen need to come out from the very first minute and be sharp. And typically, when they're playing equal or better competition than themselves, they've done that under Alonso. So mentality monsters. But yeah, can they lose to West Ham? Yeah, they can. Absolutely. West Ham, I mean, they're right there battling for top six in England. So, I mean, I can't dismiss them, you know?
Yeah, not no walkover. I was definitely a little upset Leverkusen drew them, because I wanted them to have an easier path. But, hey.
The match to look out for, I do believe that people need to be watching this, is Atalanta and Liverpool. I think that, you know, with Liverpool's kind of difficulty in scoring as of late, I mean, it's just one of those things where you could say, well, I mean, is this a trend that Liverpool just going through a kind of a weird period, or have they been figured out? Is this who they are, and they're just going to have to struggle and grind out wins the rest of the way? I mean, that'll tell a tale, because I mean, you could talk about the Prague match all you want and how they just came out and put five on them within a couple of minutes, but the reality is that's still Prague. I mean, Atalanta's a solid side from Serie A. They're going to come out. They would like to win this competition. I don't think Atalanta's going to get Champions League this year unless they win the Europa League. So, and they're fully capable. I mean, whatever's left, you know, Atalanta can win. I mean, you have Marseille, Benfica, and Milan and Roma. So three of their three Italian sides still left in this competition, and Atalanta know that they know how to beat Roma and Milan. So one of those two are going to come out of that fixture. That's the one I'm looking at, though. Liverpool and Atalanta, see where that goes, and then Milan and Roma. That's going to be, obviously, because it's kind of a derby, if you will. It's an Italian, all-Italian fixture here in the quarters. That's going to be the most interesting in terms of, like, spiciness.
Milan's won seven in a row.
Oh, okay.
AC Milan have won seven matches in a row, all green, okay? And that is, I mean, that's pretty good for Milan, man, especially playing domestically and in the tournament. I mean, you literally have seven straight. So this is going to be a good one, man. Roma and Milan is another quiet matchup no one's really talking about. And I want to see if Milan can kind of continue that winning streak. Villa have Lille out of France. I mean, that's another one too, man. Lineup's already out. Leon Bailey, Douglas Luiz, everybody's starting. Diego Carlos, Diegne, they're all starting, man. So Martinez in goal, McGinn captain. Yeah, we're gonna have a good one here. Jonathan David for Lille, Goodmanson from Sweden, and all those guys are playing for Lille. So Aston Villa have themselves a hard one on hand too. So yeah, a lot of European good stuff right now, man. We're actually very fortunate to have this all going on at the same time. And I bring it up because we better enjoy it while it freaking lasts, because I know right before Euros, we're both going to be chomping at the bit for some of these matches.
Absolutely. That goes without saying, my friend.
Yeah.
All right, we'll close up shop today. This has been a lot of fun, as always, sir. Did you have any closing comments?
Nah, man, ready for Europe. Brazil kicks off this weekend, so we get to see Santos climb back to the top, and I'm really excited for all this, man. Really ready. I'm going to be watching Liverpool here in an hour and 15 minutes. I can't ask for anything better.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this week from the basement. About to turn the lights out. Everybody, thank you very much for your support and listening as always, and we will see you next week for the conclusion of Champions League quarter final.